Maybe you got a handout. All of you are like, please do a handout again. Please do a handout again. Please do a handout again. And so we'll give it one more shot. I don't do it no other reason than if I change something Sunday morning, it's kind of tricky. And your notes are wrong. And all of you type A firstborns don't like it when your number when your handouts are wrong. And then you're mad with me and you slash my tires. And so I don't want to do that. So that's why I don't normally, but we'll give another shot here. If that helps you any, and if you want to use the app, HardinValleyChurch.com/app, and you can grab the notes as well as there's the podcast is on there, the former sermons, et cetera, and all the social media. You don't have to be a part of everything to see everything. Numbers chapter 11. Stand with us one last time. We'll read God's word together. Numbers 11, verse 1, and when the people complain, it displeased the Lord. You underline, highlight in your Bibles, your app, you ought to underline, highlight that. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burned among them and consumed them, and were in the uttermost parts of the camp. If we understand the structure, they'd have the traveling tabernacle is going to be a part of the encamping that they do. This place, it represented the presence of the Lord, the cloud that was over it, and the pillar of fire by night. That was all there in kind of a central thing. And then you've got, give or take, 2 million people bivouacking through the desert for 40 years as they're circuitously getting to the promised land. And the people that are kind of on the fringes, it doesn't mean anything about them other than they were there. All of a sudden, chaos and destruction happened. And why did it happen? Because the people constantly, continually complained. Verse 2. The people cried to Moses. Moses prayed to the Lord. The fire was quenched, not unlike any wildfire we would have seen in the West in the past several years. And he called the name of the place Taberah because the fire of the Lord burnt among them. Verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. The children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh or meat to eat? Verse 5. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. That's not true. The cucumbers, the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. In other words, had a Greek salad, what we would call it. But now our soul is dried away. They were in bondage and enslaved and being beaten and punished and had no freedom. And all they can think about is, man, the salad bar to Sizzler sounds pretty good right now. And the manna was as coriander seed. The color is the color of bdellium, reddish color. Amber color. And the people went about and gathered it, ground it in the mills, beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, made cakes of it, and the taste was of fresh oil. When the dew fell on the camp at night, the manna fell upon it. God was providing, and it wasn't enough. They wanted more. And Moses heard the people weep throughout their families. Every man at the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. They did one thing. People died. They keep doing it. Wait for it. God rebukes him, and he doesn't even slow him down. And Moses is done with him, the leader. And Moses said unto the Lord, look at the change in Moses. Just a couple more verses here. Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight that thou layest the burden of all these millions of people upon me? Did I conceive all these people? Have I begotten them? Thou should say to me, carry in the bosom as a nursing father before the suckling child into the land which thou swearest unto the fathers. Wherefore should I have flesh, meat, to give to all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may. Now wait for it. He's exaggerating. I am not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. If thou deal thus with me, here's the exaggeration of the chapter. Kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I found favor in thy sight, and let me not see my wretchedness. I do not want to deal with this anymore. If you'll allow me this morning, I want to help us. I want to help us with what I call one of the respectable sins, the respectable sin of complaining. Would you pray, Father, front to back, left to right, those that are watching, would you speak to hearts? May I preach, Lord, your word. And Lord, as you have just worked on me and convicted me, Father, may I not preach this as somebody who's arrived, but somebody who's in process. And would you speak to every heart? Help us, I ask. We need you, Father. We pray all this in your Son's wonderful and precious name. And amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. We'll be in 1 Corinthians 10 in just a moment or two. As July started, I always look for fireworks stores. Anybody besides me? I look for them for two reasons. One, if there's a local fireworks, I'm just a kid. I like seeing things go boom. And I like the pretty stuff. I'm still oohing and awing. We were in Myrtle Beach some years ago, and they had some kind of fireworks laser show. And I thought that was the greatest thing. And I was just as sad as the four-year-olds going, oh. And, that was pretty impressive. Pretty impressive to me. I grew up running to the south of the border. Those of you from close, anywhere near 95, you get 100 miles any direction, you start seeing these signs, and it is the biggest dump you have ever been to in your life, but you can get cheap fireworks. And you can get these things, and we would get them, and we'd use them all year. We'd shoot them at each other. We'd throw M80s, M70s. It's a wonder I have any hearing at all. And we almost set a house on fire accidentally one time, and that's another story and another sermon. But I like it. And my ears pick up whenever it's about that time. New Year's Eve coming in to July 4th. I like it. And like I said, if I can find a big, something going on here. One year we sat on our porch and we got to see fireworks in three different directions where we lived. And man, that's just good entertainment to me. You say, I don't like toes and bothers me. It's okay. But I'm a big kid and I'm a little bit of a doofus. So we're there. So my ears are tuned in. So I catch a story at a KTLA. Big Los Angeles station said after a report of illegal fireworks was called in by concerned neighbors, police descended en masse to a local LA neighborhood. They found a sizable cache, almost 5,000 pounds of illegal fireworks. I don't know what the difference in legal and illegal is, but anyway. Legal fireworks. After they removed most of it, officers were left with less than 10 pounds of the explosives. Everybody follow my math now? 5,000, which is more than 10 pounds. Everybody, I got like six of you listening. The rest of you are coloring in the zeros on your paper, okay? Everybody with me here? So they got 10 pounds left. But they still got the bomb thing pulled behind a semi. You've seen on the movies and all. There's video of this. If you get bored in the service, just Google it, and it's entertaining video. And they got a helicopter because, L.A. likes their helicopters and they like their explosions. So they're there, but what the helicopter doesn't know is it's just little itty-bitty thing left. And they said, hey, this is too unstable. We'll put it in the bomb thing, and we just detonate it there because it's not much. 4,990, that's a lot. They got rid of that. 10 pounds, they got this left. And what happens next was almost unbelievable. They put it in there, and something goes catastrophically wrong. LAPD Lieutenant Raul Hovell said, during the controlled detonation, we had catastrophic failure. The failure was so bad, it destroyed the truck. It destroyed the container. It damaged nearby cars and homes. It injured 17 people, including 10 policemen and a federal agent. On the second day of cleanup, day two, crews found a 500-pound lid in a yard three blocks away. Investigators are working to learn why the container, which should have been able to handle many, many, many more times that amount of explosive, failed. Don't miss it. Something happened in the containment vessel that should not have happened. How many of you would like to be working for the government and make those kind of statements? And we don't know why. Chief Moore said, but we intend to find out. Something happened, it shouldn't have happened, and it wasn't able to contain it. We don't know why, but we intend to find out. Now, let me give you your response. Let me real quickly. Are you with me? Let me give you a quick response. Your response is explosives, dangerous, every now and then, catastrophe is going to happen. Nod your head if that thought's crossed your mind, right? Explosives, dangerous, fireworks, dangerous, bottle rockets, dangerous, whatever. Every now and then, it's going to happen. Every now and then, you're going to be like me, reading the paper, reading the news. It's around July, and you're going to hear, this went up, this went up. Somebody threw a lit cigarette in the back of a fireworks, you know, place set up in Walmart's parking lot, and all of a sudden, here we go. Everybody, it's gonna happen. You have that much around, you're going to have this much. And some of you look, again, if you've had traumatic experience, I'm not trying to make light of it. I'm trying to make a point here for a second. And so when he says that, we get that. It's not very surprising. Wait for it. But when you read verse 1 of chapter 11, you were dumbfounded. And the people complained, and it displeased the Lord. And the Lord sent fiery vengeance upon the people. And you went, well, good gracious. People complain all the time. We complain so much. We have it into an art form. We got tired of just complaining verbally, so we created Twitter, just so we could complain to other people and total strangers. We come up with 1,000,001 memes to complain about anything and everything. And we are just absolutely, we are all gold medalists in this area. And you read that and never crossed your mind. Hey, I'm playing with something far more dangerous than 10 pounds of illegal fireworks. I'm playing with something that apparently gets God's attention and he doesn't think a whole lot of it. So when we talk about this, you say, preacher, why in the world would you call it a respectable sin? Because I think this is one of the things we don't think much about. I don't think we think it's a big deal. It's a respectable sin. It is dangerous to complain. It is dangerous to complain. In Rodney's way of thinking, complaining then is that child of ingratitude and impatience. It's the child of ingratitude and impatience. You've had it happen, right? You've been eating somewhere, and you're eating a pretty good meal, or you're eating at your house, and all of a sudden, what do? You go, you know, I remember last year, we were somewhere, and man, we had crab legs, and they were better than this. Or we were here, you remember Aunt Sally? Man, this is pretty good, but hers is so much better. We can have food on the fork and start talking about a different meal, right? We're just insane that way, aren't we? Or at least I am. None of the rest of you are nodding at me. And we're here. We have learned to do it. We've learned to do it. We will. We're so callous. We'll get a gift from somebody, and we'll try and slide it in. Now, where'd you get that from? Because we've already got it returned, right? Stores can't wait anymore. They got to open on Christmas afternoon to let people in to exchange the stuff they just unwrapped 20 minutes earlier. We're so cynical. We're so ungrateful, and we're so impatient. Now, not anybody here, but others, right? Anybody know anybody that's impatient? You couldn't wait to raise your hand, could you? Anybody know anybody that's impatient? Every morning, man, if I got to get out early and get on this road out here, man, I pray and I ask God to guard my mouth because it's crazy around here. It's insane. When Brandon moved to the air, we told him, don't get on the highway in the morning. Don't get on the highway in the evening. And he didn't believe us. Then he lost his mind. And now he learned how to take the back roads, getting back and forth to work because it's insane. It's insane. I had lunch with somebody this week, and he leaned across the table. He said, does everybody in here drive like a maniac? I said, I don't know about everybody, but I've never driven fast enough. I've never driven fast enough between here and Nashville. Little old ladies on mopeds passing me, you know, I mean, it's the craziest thing. And somebody cut us off, or we're running behind. What are we doing? Well, you get out of the way. And you're talking to people who can't hear you, right? You're losing your mind. You got veins throbbing, and they can't hear you. They can't hear you. If you really lose your mind and roll your window down, you rolled your window down to someone who just, you know, he just got done serving 10 years for manslaughter, and he's kind of missing things, right? That's how that works, and I'm kidding a little bit. But we're impatient. We yell, and we scream, and we fuss, and for no reason. we have this going on. You say, people, you say, preacher, you can stop now because I feel bad. I feel badly, rather. I feel badly about the subject because I complain. I'm not trying to tell you have bad manners. Everybody with me still? I'm not trying to say you don't put your napkin in your lap. I'm not trying to say you chew with your mouth open. I'm not trying to say in public company you groom your proboscis. Hey, what's that? You pick your nose. I'm not trying to say you have bad manners. I'm trying to relate to you a biblical story here with a huge spiritual implication. Say, preacher, I don't think it's that big a deal. You're there, those of you with the handout, look down at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, just for a second, if you're on the app or whatever, you can click, or if you're in your Bibles and you're following along. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6. These things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things. Paul's writing and he's using the Old Testament as his sermon text. And he's walking them through. He says, don't be idolaters. He's talking about what Aaron did when Moses is receiving the Ten Commandments. As some of them were, talking about the Israelites, the Jews, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and rose up again to play. Neither let us commit fornication. They did this. They got naked and they violated their marriage vows as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. By the way, that saw of HBO and Cinemax and Stars and everything, if everybody who portrayed that or everybody who did that, if all of a sudden they died, that would help us a little bit in this area, right? That fixed spring break down in South Florida, wouldn't it? And so it said, verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempting were destroyed as serpents. They continued to do this. God sent the fiery, the biting serpents there. All they had to do was look on the brazen serpent, the bronze serpent, and some of them wouldn't even do it, and they died because they wouldn't look at the lifted Savior there. Verse 10, neither murmur ye. Some of them murmured and were destroyed or destroyed, and that's our passage here. Word murmur, I said it accidentally a minute ago, is an onomatopoeic word. Say what? Say, preacher, we have a deal. Nothing with four syllables or more. It's a word that sounds like it, like yay. Sounds like it's spelled, Y-A-Y. Well, I just had a mind blank. If that's not how it's spelled, don't tell me. I'll figure it out later on. Or even the word murmur. Murmur sounds like how it's spelled, murmur. Or ooh sounds like how it's spelled. And so they would do this. The Chinese did this with great sarcastic effect. They called everybody a barbarian because everything to them, to their cultured ears, sounded like bar, 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 bar. And so they basically said anybody who didn't speak Chinese is a barbarian. And so when you talk about the barbarians again, you're just talking about anybody who's not like you. And here are the children of Israel in just that dull roar. Anybody here, you start huffing and puffing and sighing, there's somebody about to call you out on it. Everybody starts ducking, right? Because somebody's about to get what for? Some of you sitting here getting nervous now. He says, they murmured against God. They murmured against God. See, there are things that our vessel, the containment vessel, is not meant to have inside of it. And it is very, very destructive. Very destructive. You're back in Numbers 11. Let me pick up the story here. Used to be, a lot of people thought this was a familiar story, but I don't know it is anymore. You've got 600,000 men, you got your wives and children, conservative estimates anywhere from 2 to 5 million people. When you see little pictures of the children of Israel crossing and going through, and it looks like a football stadium full of folks, that isn't it. These are millions of people. This is huge logistics. And when you got a whole bunch of people complaining, you got a whole bunch of people complaining. And so to feed them, because they don't have any crops and they don't have any infrastructure, so to speak, of, God miraculously kept delivering them a way for them to make bread, a way for them to make things. And so they would get it, they put it in a mortar pestle, they'd make water. They'd make everything from what we would call non-bread type of things, and they would make it. They could put spices and things and all those kind of deals, whatever they had on it. And all of a sudden, they pick up people along the way. When you got 2 to 3, 4 million people, you're going to pick up other folks. That's what's called the mixed multitude there. It's not a racial thing in that sense. It's just simply they weren't Jews and they joined the journey. And you know what they're doing? I mean, they're there for the free food. And all of a sudden, they start poisoning everybody. They weren't delivered out of Egypt. Wait for it. They don't have the background. They've not been taught the law. But all of a sudden, these people who are professional pagan complainers start infecting everybody else. You mark it down. If you got a complaining, griping, groaning, moaning, mumbling problem, you got griping, groaning, mumbling, groaning friends. And they are poisoning you. Wait for it. Or you're the one poisoning them. We hardly ever rise above the influences of those around us. Hardly ever. And the little group starts poisoning the big group, and all of a sudden we got problems. We got problems. And they want flesh. King James word there. They want meat. They want meat. They want beefsteak. And so God does another miracle, and he sends them the quail. He takes care of them. Let me help you. If you didn't, I don't have it in your notes, I don't think. But if you want to write this down, God is good to us even when we're bad to him. God is good to us even when we're bad to him. God is graceful to us. And he sometimes answers the prayers even when we do it with a complaining spirit. Aren't you glad God is better to us than we deserve? He's better to us than we have earned or we are worthy of. And so we get the story here, and we see all the things that are going on. So let me help you. Let me help you with a couple things here. How many of you like some help? I want to serve it. You like some help? Maybe helping other people, because nobody in here apparently has any trouble complaining, because everybody in here looks like I'm talking about going to the moon. Anybody here would like a little help with a complaining, griping, grumbling, mumbling, groaning spirit? In on occasion, not now, but maybe at Christmas or something. You know, you just tuck it away. Anybody like that? Like three of you. All right, the rest of you can be dismissed if you don't have any trouble. But how many of you would like a little help? Anybody nod, wink, nudge, bit on the piano? Okay, everybody with me? All right, number one, remember, complaining always offends God. Complaining always offends God. Before it's ever horizontal, a complaining spirit is vertical. It's why parents and grandparents, step-parents, aunts and uncles, you be careful letting your kids moan, groan, whine, and complain, because they're directing it to you. But I'm telling you, they're learning how to complain, moan, groan, whine, complain to God. Because complaining's always vertical. And it always offends God. It always offends God. Remember what I said? It's the byproduct of ingratitude and impatience. When I complain, this is what's going on. Let me give you a little timeout. You say, preacher, but are you saying if I point out something that's wrong? No, no, no. Cry aloud and spare not. One of the verses that's been said quite a bit, and a little bit out of context in the last little while, is talking about loving justice and defending the fatherless. We're not talking about taking a stand. Complaining. I'm not usually complaining on your behalf. Man, it isn't fair how Joe got treated. Man, it isn't fair. It isn't right. It isn't right what a boss did to Joy at work. We don't normally get exercised over others. We're losing our mind because the stoplight stuck. We're losing our mind because hey, you know, we can barely pay our bills, and it isn't fair that so-and-so over here, man, they got two boats, not one but two. When we complain, we're just saying, God, you're not treating me right, and it is absolutely vertical. I'm not usually complaining about it. I'm not usually protesting. I'm not usually advocating for justice. I'm not usually, because when I do that, let me tell you the difference. When I do that, I'm willing to invite suffering. I will take my complaint to you, knowing that it may cost me if I stand for truth. I will take my protest, because it's not right what's going on. I will do that, and I will do that in such a way. And you see, by the way, that lived out in the life of the Apostle Paul. We did a whole bunch of that when we were going through Philippians here. There is a difference, but that other spirit, man, it always offends God. You're back in chapter 11, look at verse 1. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it. And his anger, and here's a word that we use to just talk about fire, was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned among them. Holy, divine wrath. I was reading, I've got several resources on this. was reading this week, and supposedly, guy asked his audience, what would happen if the people in your life, God just, when they complain? And supposedly one woman said, I wouldn't have any children. I'll let it sit there for a second or two, you know. Another guy said it'd be real quiet around my house. Now, that's macabre, I know that. But it is true, isn't it? If God still acted that way to us, we'd be a little more serious, wouldn't it? It offends God. Complaining always offends God. Circle, highlight. When I am given to this habit that I no longer recognize it, it offends God. Number two, it brings judgment. And it hurts others. Fire consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Let me help you. There's some folks who weren't complaining a whole lot, and all of a sudden they lost their tent. All of a sudden they were dealing with a burn victim. All of a sudden, see, your stuff sloshes over on others. When I complain, that bitterness that grows in my heart and that coldness that takes over, it starts creeping and infecting others. You still with me? I got about 6-7 minutes. You still with me? There's in give or take 6 years I've been here and trying to help the church, and you guys have been so good to me. There are three occasions where I gotten in real trouble. I'll be more I didn't know about. There's three I know about where I got in real trouble. One, I was making a funny. I said something to the effect of, I don't even know how to say it. I made a pretty good joke about, when Andrea writes better sermons, I'll preach better sermons. And more than a few folks believe me. And one of them kind of accosted Andrea and apparently was in the church that I wasn't actually writing sermons. So I had to flip that out of my dumb things I say and kind of thing. I said one time, I was just talking, and I just said, God made Adam and Eve, and you see the binary from the very start of the scripture. And I was making another point, and we lost like four teenagers because I said, Genesis 1:27 says male and female. That wasn't even what I was preaching. I was just using it to make another point. And like you say, one, two, three, at least four teenagers and two of their family, but they were done because I dared to say God made men and women. By the way, I'm not apologizing for anything. I'm just telling you, I got real trouble for saying that some years ago. And then the other thing, and I, again, hadn't backed up, don't plan to. I said, you be careful, mom's dad, stepmom's dad, grandma, grandpa. You be careful being overly critical because you will poison your young person. And if you have roast preacher, roast deacon, roast, if you constantly do that in front of them, and you constantly vent your spleen, you are weakening the gospel's impact. And you'd have thought I spit in the Virgin Mary's face. And very few times I've ever wanted to take my phone and flush it in the toilet. But I was ready to that day. Now let me help you. It's been a few years. I'm hitting about 30 years in the ministry. Still do a little bit of speaking. Let me say it again. If I get in trouble, get in trouble. You be careful. Because when you spill your poison, what you may be able to tolerate a little better, others can't. And if I never, ever, if I was so upset with me, the almost bald, overweight preacher, if I was so upset, I would never vent my spleen to a lost person and poison them about church and the gospel. I wouldn't do it. I'd get me a journal. I'd fill it. I'd write it all out. I'd stick it in the fire and burn it. The truth of the matter is, I try and do Matthew 18 and come and do that. But when I complain and it's vertical and I do that, it brings judgment and it offends and hurts others. Your complaining spirit does that. How many of us in here, we got that friend who will convince us that a bad idea is okay? They will encourage you in your complaining, grumbling, murmuring spirit. It hurts others. It hurts others. Number three, complaining or a complaining spirit, it distances us from the presence of God. You're there in Numbers 11. Flip the page to Numbers 12. Don't miss it. Miriam and Aaron, they go against Moses. They are just hostile toward him. It is awful. We don't have the time for that. But look what happened. The people and the people and the people, and now the leadership in verse 12. And the cloud departed off the tabernacle. Behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Don't miss, we focus usually on Miriam getting the leprosy as a judgment. But I think the real judgment is in the first part of it. And the presence of God went around. The presence of God went around. Complaining, griping, mumbling, moaning, groaning. Man, it deadens my heart. And it turns my heart cold. And all of a sudden, I don't feel God like I used to feel Him. And there is a tremendous price to pay for when this goes on. Some of you would be better off getting off Discord. You'd be better off getting off Twitch. You'd be better off giving up a whole bunch of your internet, because all you use the internet for is to gripe and moan and groan and complain. Let me help the rest of you. And some of you, you'd be better off to mute or to block some friends. Or when you're texting and doing things, or when they call, you just say, hey, I only got a few minutes, because all they're going to do is you hear the beep, beep, beep in the background, because they're going to dump all their garbage on you and they're going to start poisoning you. And before you know it, nobody's that interested in the things of God, and it's like He's a million miles away. Complaining. Complaining wears down leadership. We don't have the time. Verse 14, back in chapter 11. Chapter 11, those of you that are supervisors, those of you in middle management or leaders running your own business or whatever, or those of you just kind of help handle all the stray cats in your life. Moses, I am not able to bear all those people alone. Let me help you. God never asked him to. God never asked him to. I can't do it, God. All these people are driving me crazy. By the way, anybody ever had that thought? Man, the people around me just blah, 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 blah. Verse 15. And here's the, what do you mean? And if you deal thus with me, can you get the picture? It'd be like a four-year-old looking at Mayor Jacobs, the former pro wrestler. It'd be like a four-year-old going, you do that again, I'm taking you down. I got news for you. Mayor Jacobs hadn't lost any sleep over a four-year-old wagging his finger. Here's Moses. And God, if you do this, I just wish you'd kill me. It's almost like, you know, I'll show you as I pass out over here in the back seat. Just kill me. Let me help you. For those of you who are not reading this real well, that's drama. Weariness distorts reality. And complaining, it's not fair. Not this. Let me help you. If you grew up somehow being allowed to say it's not fair, let me encourage you to stop it right now. Because not a person in this room wants anything in life to be fair. Because if life was fair, we'd all be in hell, because that's what we all deserve. I'm glad for mercy and for grace. And when I don't extend it to others, I'm not talking about abuse. I'm not talking about allowing them to hurt me. I'm not talking about self-protection. And I'm not, nobody here thinks that. But when I all of a sudden go, well, they're just a really bad sinner and I'm a really okay sinner, then you got a distorted reality. Or God, why'd you let this happen? Why'd you let me get sick? Why'd you let this go on? Why'd you let this and that and the other? Complaining, man, it poisons my heart. And you wear down leadership. Wear down leadership. Finally, I'm done. It affects our view of God. You're in chapter 11, still with me? Say amen. All right, verse 23. Respectable sin. Verse 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, anybody here grow up dumb like I did? All right. Anybody here, you hit a certain age and you weighed your options and you tried to be all that in a bag of chips with one of your parents or step-parents or grandparents, somebody, and you tried to, a few of you, the rest of you, you're still wounded. Okay. All right. So you're still there? All right. Look right there. All right. At my house, the bad words were, sit down. Some of you right now, you got to shiver, right? If I ever, and a parent looked at me and went, sit down, now you're going to listen to me. Truth of the matter is, I'm saying it out loud, and I'm getting a little nervous. I'm looking at one of my children in the back going, please move off this subject. Read it again. And the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Is he infirm? Has he got a broken arm? You now shall see now whether my word shall come to pass in thee or not. Because Moses had counted for God. God, you don't understand. There's 600,000 men and their wives and children. Again, 2, 3, 4, 5 million people. Guys, you can't provide that much meat. And they're going to come after me. Just kill me, God. Just kill me. This isn't working. The God who delivered them from the Egyptians. The God who got them across the Red Sea. The God who provided for them. The God who had the pillar of the fire at night to guard and guide them and the cloud to protect them by day. The one who would send his spirit and his presence represented by the tabernacle. The God who'd done all that, and all of a sudden he's going to have a problem with a grocery list. When I allow that to take hold in my life, all of a sudden I change God and I put him in a box fast. It affects our view of God. Warren Buffett in a 2015 interview, and he later said it again in a 2017 article, or was recorded in a 2017 article. He said, every organization must guard against the ABCs of destruction. He said they must guard against arrogance, bureaucracy, and complacency. He said, every organization that fails in the ABCs. They're too arrogant. They're too bureaucratic, in other words, too much paper, or they're complacent. They rest on their laurels. They become, if you'll allow, they become like a Blockbuster. They don't recognize that renting things is on the way out, and people are going to start watching on their devices. Well, look at me. When you're consumed with apathy, I don't care about others, just me. When you're consumed with just belly aching, because after a while, that's all you can do. No matter what's going on, it ain't good enough. And when you're consumed with complaining, you're in a bad spot. You're in a bad spot. Jeff Eastwood, he said, what we learn from this passage is that complaining begins to question God's plan. It begins to question God's plan. God, do you know what you're doing? Why have you allowed this in my life? God, why didn't you check with me? Eastwood says, complaining questions God's provision. I don't have what somebody else has, so you must not love me enough. God's provision in complaining questions God's character. And that's where it's at, isn't it? That's where I said to start with. It's vertical. It's vertical. You mean you never speak up? I'm not talking about being an engineer. I'm not talking about, hey, that's not straight and that's not there. That's dangerous. We're not talking about, man, I paid for hot food and the food is cold. We're not talking about momentary instances. We're talking about the spirit of complaining. And everybody in this room has faced it or is going to face it, or you're right in the middle of it now and it's become air and oxygen to you, except you don't understand. that your containment vessel was not meant to hold that and to have it inside of you. And it's going to blow. And it's going to take a whole lot of people with him. A respectable sin, complaining. Pray with me right now. Father, oh, how you've dug at my heart. Oh, how you have convicted me, Lord, as I even some opportunities this week. And God, I don't want this to be a pattern in my life. And God, I don't want this to be a habit that I get used to.